Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So the term that we use in kink to talk about any activity where you put your mouth on someone is worship, right? Mm-hmm. So whether or not the scene is like worshipful, like, oh, you're an empress, you're a goddess, I'm like worshiping at your altar. Like if you, like if somebody wants to suck in your tits, it's going to be breast worship. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to suck on your toes and lick your feet, it's going to be foot worship. If somebody wants to lick your legs, and it's going to be leg worship, right? Mm-hmm. So like it's interesting to think about like using the mouth for something sexual that does not then like result in consumption. Like when you're putting, I mean, when you're putting your mouth on someone, you're tasting them. Mm-hmm. You might actually be like consuming their sweat.
Yeah.
Right. You might be, I mean, if you are, when you kiss someone, you swap sweat and then you drink, or not sweat.
Spit.
You swap spit and then you drink their spit. And that's like, what could be more vanilla than that?
Right. Absolutely. There's something that's like, I guess like flickering in the back of my mind about what you said about like mouths.
I mean, some people enjoy putting their mouths on people more than others. And some people enjoy putting their mouths on different parts of people's bodies more than others, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people are like, I really want to put my mouth on your feet. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, I would just be content sucking on your tits.
Yeah.
All day long. Some people want to just kiss your ass or like have their face like buried in your ass. Not even necessarily like your like genitals or your asshole worship, but just like kissing the juicy flesh of your ass, just eating that peach all fucking day long, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody like that, but I've heard it in books.
Those kinds of people.
Yeah. Actually, thinking about tits makes me think about drinking milk, which, again, is like... I guess we all... not all. I shouldn't say all. Many people begin their life of consuming nutrition by consuming milk directly from a human body.
Yeah. And there's also like a incesty thing that can happen there.
Yeah.
Right? Like the idea of like you returning to the stomach, to the womb as like a
I'm going to
eat you and like now you're going to be mommy's forever. Like you can never escape mommy.
Well, you know, and it makes me think about my friends who have given birth, talking about the first few months of the baby's life is like the fourth trimester, where it's like they're kind of still, they're on the outside of the body, but there's still a symbiotic relationship.
Right, definitely.
And so there is a little bit of a like, that may be part of the idea of cannibalism or even, you know, the idea of like breastfeeding fantasies or like actual lactation fetishes where people like want to suck on titties that can produce breast milk and actually have the experience of like drinking milk from breasts. That is a little bit of a like, of a mommy thing where you just like want to become a part of that. Like
there's like a
safe,
symbiosis
nurturing space before you were sentient and had to think about bills.
Yeah. Or those are like the two, that's like the fucking marker of like consciousness is like, damn, I have my own independent thoughts. Now I have to think about bills.
Pretty much.
Basically.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. There is like a sense of like returning to safety, right?
Yeah.
Like the belly is kind of its own womb.
Right. Oh God. That's so funny. I definitely remember not understanding the difference between the womb and the stomach when I was young and like being like, the baby's where?
Yeah.
Like the baby's
you
where
the
food. The
baby?
Yeah. Or like there's when you eat, like does the food shower down on the baby?
When people talk about like food babies, like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. When people are like, oh, like they're I like, ate so much that now I have a food baby.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not pregnant, just eating good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, that feels related somehow.
It's total. I mean, listen, the asshole is next to the genitals. I actually just talked about, have you seen The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
you have. Somebody has recommended it to me before.
You must see this movie. Mm-hmm. It has cannibalism in it.
Yeah.
I just did Annie Rose's podcast, Girls, Guts, and Jello, and we talked about it. Mm. And the villain says, like, he says, like, the disgusting bits are next to the naughty bits, which goes to show you how food and sex are related.
Completely.
So
how can they be anything except for related?
Yeah. And so just like that, the womb and the stomach are also related.
Totally.
Man, we are going to like a Freudian place now.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just listened to your, here's the thing about cannibalism. that's, I feel that there's like, there's a sense of reverence to it. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of like individuality and like sacredness and like desire that extends so far that you want to like move past the boundaries of like somebody's skin.
Yeah.
And then there is there, it like does tap into like some hot sadomasochism, right?
Well, that's the thing, is that in order to, it's one thing to put your mouth on someone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this in foodie terms, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can get like a mouth feel mm-hmm. of what someone tastes like. You just can certainly smell someone like and think about the relationship between like eating and scent. Like mm-hmm. you can fucking smell someone's body for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are parts of the body that you can consume without doing any harm. Like parts of the body that just naturally emerge from the body, right?
Yeah.
Like fluids and even I don't fucking know, like hair, like you were talking about hair.
Mm-hmm.
You could, teeth, you could eat someone's teeth, you could eat someone's fucking fingernails, like, right? There's parts yeah. There's parts of the body that you know that we like shed all the time, right?
Totally. I made someone eat my pubes yesterday.
Great,
thanks.
Wait, have you seen Midsommar?
Mm-mm. Okay. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ari Aster.
Yeah. Slight spoiler for Midsommar. I saw it twice. The first time I saw it, I went with Dia Dynasty and Amazing. Sophie St. Thomas.
Oh my God.
Who are both out about being practicing witches. And like seeing that movie with them was so fun because it gets to the part where a character puts her pubes in a pie intended for someone that she intends to seduce into a fertility ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like an the movie has these beautiful illustrations, and there's an illustration of like her doing this ritual, or like how this ritual is done,
right?
That you see early on in the movie before it actually happens,
like a manual.
Yeah, exactly. And she also puts her period blood
in his juice,
another thing that you can consume of someone's,
right?
In his juice or in his tea, and it's so fucking funny because it's. His glass is like pink and everybody else's is like clear.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then he eats her pubic hair and drinks inadvertently, unconsensually, mm-hmm. To be clear, and drinks her menstrual blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like part of how she casts a spell on him to seduce him into this fertility ritual. And Dia and Sophie were both like, yep, that's how it's done. I was like, well, this is why you should go fucking see movies about fucking witchcraft with witches.
Oh my God.
Instant fact checking. So yeah, you made someone eat your pubes.
Yeah.
Right. So there's all these parts of the body that
we shed.
That we shed, and so eating them is like something that you may or may not be interested in. Then getting into the element of cannibalism that involves
irreparable harm.
Yeah. Violence and irreparable harm.
Violence, like someone is capable of consenting
yeah.
to you, like, taking a pound of flesh from them, mm-hmm. You know, mutilating them to the point that you could eat them, mutilating them, or actually killing them
mm-hmm.
so that they can be eaten. There is a certain line. I know, I feel like I'm stating the obvious here.
Yeah.
But there's a line that you cross
absolutely.
With consuming human matter.
Yeah.
That is like the point of no return. And you've correct. Alluded to this already that like, that's part of what makes it so special. Is that you can like only do it
once. Or you can only, yeah, you can only do
depending
it
on what we're talking about. Like you can only like,
there's only one body. There's only so much flesh real estate that can be. Each person.
As far as we know.
Yeah. As far as we know.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie Raw?
I haven't, but I would like to.
Okay. Then I'm not going to spoil it.
You can spoil it.
Okay, so...
I know, it's about cannibalism.
Yes, it is about cannibalism. There's, like, a scene in the movie where this young girl starts experiencing, like, weird desires and weird urges. Cannibalistic yeah. desires and urges. And
she's, like, a vegetarian, right?
Yeah, something like that. She's, yeah. like, a vegetarian. And, like, at the end, her dad is like, oh, yeah, hopefully you'll find somebody for you. And, like, you'll find, like, an arrangement that works for you. For me, like, I knew that I, like, love your mother. And, like, I knew that if I wanted to be with her, then this is something that I was just going to have to do. And he, like, opens his shirt. And, like, they're just, like, bite marks, like, all over his chest.
Whoa.
And I'm like... oh my God. Like,
it's so romantic.
I know. I'm like, oh my God. That is
Well, that's something that we haven't even talked about yet. I was talking about worship, but I didn't even talk about biting.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, biting and actually I was just talking to one of my best friends on the phone before you came over, and I told them that we were going to be talking about this, and they just started, like, they went into this, like, reverie talking about how much they love, like, fucking someone in the ass and then just like gnawing on their shoulder, like,
yeah, it's
while
fucking
they're
hot.
Fucking them in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and I love, you know, I love biting, I love being bitten, I love like leaving bite marks.
Totally, absolutely. There's like a vampy,
of course,
thing about it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And also, I mean, like, riding somebody and then also biting them at the same time feels like consuming from both ends.
I guess something that we haven't talked about is how you could, like when you take someone into your holes, like, if you take someone into your vagina, if you take someone into your asshole, that you're, like, kind of, like, jumping.
Yeah, you totally them. Are.
I would, you know, and then thinking of, like, vagina dentata and, like, the
yeah,
fear
totally.
Of that, like, if you stick your dick in a cunt, that it might. You might never get it. You might yeah. never get it back.
A risk we all must take.
Yeah. God, that's so kinky.
Yeah, it is.
The idea. But then that also is this idea. I mean, we're kind of getting into, like, monstrosity here a little bit with, like...
Hell yeah.
Vampirism, which is, like, a perennial topic of this podcast. But, like, there's something about that scene and the idea of, like... I love your mother and your mother is a cannibal, but clearly what they have is a desire. And also it's very BDSM, like
yeah.
the idea that like you are consenting mm-hmm. to a mutual desire, but also part of what you're negotiating and consenting to is the erotic tension of self-control.
Yeah.
You're going to hold back to a negotiated upon degree.
Yeah.
So, like, presumably, whatever it is that is in this, like, nature of the women in this family, that mm-hmm. they, like, have these urges to consume human flesh, they can, like, tame or control that urge to the point where they can, like, enjoy chewing on someone or gnawing on their beloved.
Yeah.
But not actually, like...
killing.
Like, letting go and destroying them.
Right. Like, there's a certain... Which I think is, like, hot about domming, too, right?
Of course.
Like, there's somebody who's, like, enacting a sort of, like, violence upon you because that's something that they, like, deeply crave. But then they also want...
Hopefully that you both crave.
Yeah, that you both crave. And then, but there's also like a sense of like, oh, like I'm going to like restrain myself.
Right.
For you to.
You're both
degree.
Like unleashing and restraining yourself. I mean, that's like the beauty of SM, really.
Absolutely. And yeah, I just think that scene is like really, really romantic because it's, there is like a certain individuality to like somebody saying, oh, I want to eat, but obviously I can't like live in society and like eat everybody. So I can only stay with like one person.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah. It is really sweet.
I mean, it's definitely a part of why like vampires are sexy. Just like, you know, if you've ever been so passionate about someone that you just like want to like let loose and like rip into them.
Totally.
But you know that you can't, you don't, maybe you don't physically have the strength. You don't actually want to destroy this person.
Right.
You don't, maybe you would be, maybe you don't even give a shit about destroying them, but you like, don't want to, you know,
go to jail.
Yeah. Right. Like you don't, or maybe it's against your ethical code to like harm someone, or maybe you'd like, don't, maybe you like this person and you don't, you know, you'd like them to survive to be chewed on another day.
Right. Or maybe it's just like a function of utility, right? You want to keep your damage contained.
Right. Yeah. And you, yeah, exactly. And that's part of what is so hot about vampires is that they're just like, nope, I'm just going to let her rip.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They're, I don't know. It's been a minute since I've thought about vampires, but you're absolutely right. Like there is like a, there's something that's kind of like frenzied.
About yes. It. The frenzy. Oh God. Feeding frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, but that's an interesting thing about the monstrosity of vampires as well is that it's cannibalistic, even though like depending on the vampire lore that you're talking about, like you know, there's usually something about like the vampire is like maybe not human anymore, now they're like a demon, or they're like another, like vampires are like another species or another sort of entity.
Yeah,
but there's some, even if it's only in the sense that they still resemble,
they're human adjacent.
They're human adjacent.
Yeah, or human simulacra or whatever. Ooh, it is.
Yes, exactly.
Right,
exactly. So if they're consuming humans, then, but it's also like an indication of, again, that like food chain thing, the idea of like vampires being like, we're humans, but more powerful. And part of how we show our power is by feeding off of you.
Yeah. Like I keep thinking about like trying to figure out if there are like examples in which the person who is eating is the one who is like, I mean, besides force feeding situations.
Yeah.
In which the person who is eating is the one who has no control.
Well, actually, that is what, spoiler for the ending of The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover. But that is actually... Mm. What happens in the end of that movie is that someone is forced to eat someone as like the ultimate like act of revenge against them.
That's wild.
You're gonna love this movie.
I think I will.
Yeah.
There was somebody that I was dating for a while who I really liked this person because they were very curious and they were also really into the ideas, really into and very good at the conceptualization of rituals that don't have any purpose other than, like, they're rituals that have no aim other than to exist for the sake of that ritual, right? Like, there's no, like, cleansing about it. It's just, like, a ritual and a gathering for the sake of ritual and gathering.
I like that.
And something that they talked about was, like, they wanted to perform, or they wanted to construct a ritual called an ounce of flesh party, which... Mm-hmm. is where each person would bring like an ounce of flesh, like would bring like an ounce of their own flesh, and like it would all be cooked for a dish. Like it, they would bring it to the party and then somebody at the party would prepare it.
Yeah.
And that also feels like very communal and like,
yes.
Yeah. And that's something that I like because it feels like it feels like less like a unidirectional experience and more like, oh, okay, everybody has to contribute and then everybody receives in return.
Love that.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It's really sweet.
I was thinking about it and I was like, would it be like a cube of prepared flesh or would it turn into like a ground meat where everybody's flesh got mixed together?
I mean, that's the creative part
yeah,
of absolutely. All of this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Tina Horn, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That? The podcast for queers, sluts, perverts, whores, and everyone who loves us. Valentine's Day is on the way, and as usual, there's tons of romantic deals at the Pleasure Chest. Brush up on your pleasure IQ with Pleasure Chest's V-Day Q&A. Just follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on social and ask them anything, literally anything, just keep it respectful, on oral, anal, BDSM, and making out. Are you a last-minute lover? Not to worry, Pleasure Chest is offering free two-day shipping from February 6th through February 10th so you can get it in time for V-Day. No time to wrap. Get your love on the run with pre-wrapped couples kits available through February 14th. You can also snag a free gift with purchase in the form of an exclusive WeVibe toy bag with all WeVibe toy purchases in stores and online through February 11th while supplies last. Happy season of love from Why Are People Into That and the Pleasure Chest. And now, on with the show. One thing that I feel like we haven't touched on, which is sort of alluded to by the idea of like the feeding frenzy, is that we don't just eat for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't just eat for like the social ritual. We yeah. also, to state the obvious, eat to sustain ourselves.
Right,
For utility and for nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Consumption is literally mm-hmm. taking energy. Calories are a measurement of right. energy. And we are taking energy into our bodies to sustain ourselves.
Right.
So if you eat someone, you are consuming their life force.
There's
their
an active
life essence.
Service.
Yes.
That is kind of implicit there.
Like if you ate a part of me,
mm-hmm.
you could be doing that to dominate me and be like, I have total dominion over your body.
Yeah.
If I say that I want to eat an ounce of your flesh or a pound of your flesh or your arm is what I want for my supper tonight.
Or a kilogram or whatever.
Or whatever.
Whatever.
That, that it, like, if you say that you, it, like, if I'm completely subservient to you.
Right.
You say you want that, so I give it to you. That's an act of devotion.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so there's that.
Right.
But I also could, like, gift you part That's of my true. Body so that you would have some of my life force.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you would have the part of the life force that makes me unique and special. Not yeah. just like any old life force, but like you
want not just any old life force.
Like you want to like you want to commune
yeah.
with
absolutely
me or like I'm aware that there's something yeah that there's something like special about my
right
like
there's like an act of taking care of like yeah. there's something like service toppy about it where
yeah,
you're
exactly.
like you're just like oh I want to baby I like want to take care of you I want to make sure that you're fed I want to make sure that you're yes. like taken care of so we're in like the middle of winter right now and I can't go to the grocery store so I'm just gonna have to like I gotta do what I gotta do to take care of my baby you know
yeah.
what I mean
yeah.
and then there's something that's like very like intimate like Tinder both like physically and like romantically about that
yeah I mean imagine if we were in dire straits
yeah
like if we were in Donner Party situation
yes yeah
and I was like I'm gonna give up a part of my body so that you can live
yeah
and I'm just gonna keep giving up parts of my body
yeah
so that you can live and maybe ultimately I'm gonna like sacrifice my entire body so you can have a nice big meal.
Right.
And, like make it through the winter.
Absolutely.
That is an ultimate act of service.
Although I do think that in the Donner Party, they did eat the children, which is disappointing, but. But I do see what you're... I do agree.
I mean, I think they ate anybody that they could.
Yeah.
I mean, the children probably succumbed to exposure quicker, right?
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Or maybe children are more succulent. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a save, we can make more type situation.
Because like
we can
more
make more
fat.
Children.
Oh, we can make more meals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, after we escape this situation, we can continue to have children.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, they're expendable.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This is what's going to get me.
I can't believe I haven't thought about the Donner Party in so long, considering how excited I was to talk about this with you.
I mean, I feel like it's sort of the biggest, like, pop culture example of...
cannibalism.
Of like, yeah, what would you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
To survive. Would you eat human flesh?
Yes.
Totally.
No doubt.
Yeah.
About it.
Does it do you...
I also heard that it tastes great.
I sort of feel like how it tastes is like... Like, I'm not curious about eating it because I want to know how it tastes. I kind of am just...
I am.
That's great. I guess like I'm more interested in it psychologically. Like I just want to be in a state of having transgressed that boundary because yeah. Like basically that's how I feel about like all transgressions. I'm yeah. like if like the taboo comes up and I'm like sort of check with myself and I'm like, do I want to transgress that?
Yeah.
If I'm okay with it, then I want it. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. Let's fucking. When the opportunity arises, like,
yeah.
Who are we? Who am I to refuse?
I have not had the opportunity to eat human flesh.
Me neither. I have
in New York City.
It's yeah, in the city that has everything. This sounds like the beginning of like a weird. It sounds like the beginning of like a weird like summer action film.
Yeah,
and like the city that has everything.
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely make a cannibal story.
I think so too. I think that we would make a very good one, I will say.
Oh, well, maybe we're starting that right now.
Yeah. This is our 2020 resolution. I definitely would eat human flesh. I've also heard that there are, like, they've made like a soy.
Like synthetic human flesh, right?
Yeah. Like vegan human flesh.
Right. Does it matter to you? This is such a foodie question.
Fuck yeah.
Like, does it matter? Does
how
it
it's prepared?
Like, no, okay, yes, how it's prepared, but also, like, is it sustainably sourced? Like, or ethically sourced? Like, does it matter to you, when you think about eating human flesh?
Yeah.
Does it matter to you if someone has had, like, a surgeon who, like, knows how to, like, remove part of that flesh while keeping the person alive mm-hmm. without causing them any, like, major mutilate. I feel like there are parts of the body that mm-hmm. could be removed without, you know, the person fully losing a limb.
I, for some reason, totally assumed that the person would already be dead.
Okay, cool. See, this is the answer to my question. So, yeah. So, does it matter to you if that person gave their life to you for you to eat their body? Or is it okay if just this person was murdered or if this person was...
I see. Well, I think that I would want it to be consensual at some point.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like if somebody was like murdered, but in their will, they were like, give my body to science.
Yeah.
You know?
So the science of a meal.
Yeah. They're like doing like test studies and they're like, we want to know how human flesh tastes.
Okay. Okay.
For this scientific journal. And I'm like... I volunteer, like,
yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I would do it for that. It doesn't matter to me that person, like, submitting to me specifically, but okay. I do want it to be ethical.
You want them to not have been, had their life taken against their will for the purpose of being eaten by you.
Yeah.
You're not a monster.
Yeah.
You just want to eat some human. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do. Yeah. Do you think it would taste different if the person was like, I want Wu to eat me?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Because if they told me that they wanted me to eat them, then I would have them on a diet. Like, I would have them on, like, a special diet.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk, how would you prepare them? Is this, like, a foie gras situation where you're just, like, force-feeding them?
Oh, good question. Did you know that foie gras is now illegal to sell in New York City?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, eat up all your foie gras while you can.
Is it illegal to force feed a human and then eat them in good a pate? Question.
And that's like another...
I mean, I guess, yes, the answer is yes. Spread it on some crackers.
Yeah, absolutely. I had like a really nice cheese board last night, which I was just talking to you about.
But, oh, yes.
That's also another thing, right? Where like the feeding of something is like goes in both directions for a singular act.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do it foie gras style. I think that would have them be vegetarian, probably.
Okay.
Like, eating lots of fruit.
It's really funny that you're like, I want to eat your flesh, so I need you to stop eating flesh.
Yeah. If you don't mind. I would probably have them stop smoking any kind of substances or drinking.
Okay.
Only water.
Okay. Go on.
I would probably have to have like multiple people for different purposes, right? Because now that you mention it, like human foie gras does sound really good.
So you need a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. A specialty farm.
Okay.
A boutique farm.
Yeah. Do you know about the Body Farm? You do, right?
No.
All right. Well, the Body Farm, there are 3 Body Farms in America.
Okay.
I believe there's one in Philadelphia. There's one... Because, you know, Philly was like a big, like had a big medical scene.
Right, like the Mutter Museum is there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that museum. There's one in San Marcos, Texas.
Okay.
It's about 45 minutes out of Austin.
Okay.
And then there's a third one. I don't know where it is.
Ooh.
Somebody knows where it is.
Yeah.
We can probably find it online. It's not like hidden or anything.
I mean, those are just the ones we know about.
That is very true.
What is a body farm?
So basically,
it's Wait, let me guess. They're growing organs for people who need like organ transplants.
No.
No. They're making clones?
No.
Okay.
A body farm is where people can donate their bodies to science.
Okay.
And then scientists will put these bodies on their farms. I mean, not their farms, but like government funded farms.
Uh-huh.
To, I guess, like do forensic studies on how bodies decompose in different conditions.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have some that are like outside. They have some that are just like lying in the sun. They have some that are like in water. And so when investigators are like looking for murders and like when people are doing autopsies.
So this is like forensic research.
Yeah.
But also highly metal.
Yeah. Very.
That's a metal job.
Yeah. It sounds really cool. I'm like, I want to visit one very badly. I bet that it would smell really bad.
I imagine that it would smell really bad.
Yeah. That's like, I have this image in my mind of just like driving by this farm and these bodies are just set up in kind of like almost like sitcom-y setups. You know what I mean? Like for some reason I have an image of like a big like aluminum tub and like a body is just like is like half in, half out with the ass in the air. And they're like, let's see how this one
decomposes. I don't know, like a scarecrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like sunbathing, like real nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have a higher tolerance for
bad smells.
Bad smells than the average person.
Bad smells are also totally subjective.
Totally subjective.
It's wild thinking about like, oh, there are all these different like modern conveniences and amenities that have allowed us to, that have kind of like made us like not sensitive to certain things.
Sure. Right?
Like we don't have sensitivity to smell because we've just like avoided smells.
Right.
For so long, and we have so many different mechanisms of like covering up certain smells.
Oh, you know, this is my hobby horse. I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah. I'm curious if like after a certain period of time, if like you're a scientist on the body farm, if you can like smell differences in like the way that these bodies decompose.
I imagine that you would.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a sex worker and you can smell when people are starting to be aroused in different ways.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
There are different body smells. Why did I bring up body farms? Oh, because I would need a body farm in order to have like my ideal dining experience.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. I would want one person to be like vegetarian, eat very lean, mm-hmm. have like very lean cuts. Mm-hmm. But in the same way that I enjoy both lean tuna and fatty tuna,
yes.
it would be nice to have one person to whose liver I could stuff. You know what I mean?
It is sad that because we have this idea of like, sorry, there's the dogs next door barking. I'm like, you're next.
They sound like birds.
Oh my God. It's sad that I totally went to a place of like scarcity instead of abundance where I was like, well, you only get one chance. And it's yeah. like, no, man, we're using our imagination yeah, here.
We
like,
can do it.
Your imagination yeah. is the limit. Like, yeah. why not have a farm and be like, lean tuna, fatty tuna? Yeah. Like, you know,
this
and,
is fantasy. I get whatever I want.
And also, like, you
this
know,
this fantasy of a personal chef.
You need to like eat a bunch of different meals prepared a bunch of different ways before
totally.
You know whether you and also like why choose like I love raw oysters but I also love grilled oysters like yeah. why you know
yeah
what this is
I can yeah. have anything I want
yeah
this is not this is my world
yeah
absolutely
fantastic
I would want to see if I could taste the difference between things like yeah, between yeah. different conditions
yeah yeah
like I think that it would turn into a total like
developing your palate
yeah absolutely
yeah
like yeah and then also seeing like the different ways in which they can be prepared and like I wonder if like human flesh is like particularly it tastes like it is particularly I guess like predispositioned to taste best prepared in a specific way
yeah only one way to find out
yeah
Body Farm
absolutely
Woo's Body Farm
yeah
before we started recording you made a joke about vegans and like what
all right
what it would look like if you vegan jokes what would it look like if for a vegan to have a cannibalism fetish
oh right
and I guess the thing that I've been thinking about is like that actually makes the most sense to me because
yeah.
if you're denying yourself something
it would be the most taboo
that's right
right
and also like people have lots of different reasons for being vegan, but like if part of being vegan involves, or even vegetarian involves like suppressing the urge or the temptation to like eat that bacon that you mm-hmm. smell sizzling, then like, as we know, anytime we like repress an urge, mm-hmm. it tends to manifest in a more extreme
way
urge somewhere else.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe, yeah, could we have any vegans that have cannibalism fetishes reach out to us?
If you are vegan.
Vegan.
Who has fantasies about eating people.
Please let me know what that is like.
Yeah.
I'm so curious to hear about what that is like.
Yeah. Yeah. And that like makes me think about all of the vegetarian food that is engineered to resemble meat. So it seems like if you were a vegan, you would be the person. Well, okay, but like I don't know that much about this like synthetic human flesh because like
tofu stuff.
Right. Like if it's not made of people.
Yeah. Is it like missing something? Like part of that experience is like
yeah, the ethical transgression. Yeah, right. I mean, listen, if it's just... That's not even fun.
Yeah.
to me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I honestly... I want to try it because I am curious to know what human flesh tastes like. I've heard that human flesh tastes really good. But I'm like not talking to any primary sources. You know what I mean? But I've heard that it tastes like... better and sweeter than like any other meat but I've also heard people say like yeah it tastes like chicken I don't really like chicken that much but
you might like this chicken
yeah
it's so funny now I'm thinking a little bit about like the idea of cannibals as like savages and how like anytime there's an act that is considered to be savage it makes me suspicious of colonialist values.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, who are you to say what civilization is?
Exactly.
Maybe the ultimate, like, civilized experience is that we're eating each other. Like, that feels actually way more sustainable.
Well, you know who you sound like now is Hannibal Lecter.
Uh-huh. I, like, pull off my rubber mask.
Wait, we have talked about the show Hannibal,
we
right?
have. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, you, I am giving you a whole reading list.
I think that, yeah, maybe...
I am deeply shocked.
I've been left out of some of the cannibalism discourse, I feel. Like, I haven't been, like, up to date on my cannibalism reading and my cannibalism media.
I think there are a lot of things that we have talked about today, including the body farms,
mm-hmm.
including the foodie preparation and, like, taking care to think about, like, how would something taste different if it was prepared a different way?
Mm-hmm.
But especially the idea of, like, being both at the top of the food chain, but also, like, the most civilized and,
yeah.
like, being essentially, like a superior advanced being.
Right.
In the case of Hannibal Lecter is because he's a psychopath. But,
yeah.
like, maybe in your case it would be because you're a female supremacist or...
Yeah. Because I love people a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love people so much you want to eat them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, what's so hard to understand about that? You know what I mean? Like, cannibalism yeah. is, like, a form of, like, reverence of people. I think makes a lot of sense to me, honestly.
It's so funny, too. Like, this it seems, like, so extreme, and it is. Cannibalism is extreme. But when you really start thinking about, like, euphemisms and metaphor of, like, love and desire, like,
yeah.
it makes me think about, like, grandmas being like, oh, you're so cute, I just want to eat you up.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you're so cute, I could dunk you in my coffee. You yeah. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you're so precious, like, you're just a fucking snack. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, even yeah. like this, you know, the kids calling each other snacks.
Kids calling each other.
That's yeah. it's a slang.
It's the one
thing
of
for
those
being,
slangs.
You know, hot, cute,
yeah,
fuckable.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you're such a little fucking
like you're
snack.
Very eatable.
Yeah,
like someone who's fuckable is someone who's consumable.
There it is. That's the thesis of this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We got it.
I heard a rumor that you want to be transformed into a dumpling.
That is not incorrect. That is not
just a
rumor.
What is that going to look like?
It depends on the people who are also transforming me into that dumpling. I have like a bun tattoo.
Cute.
Yeah. I just love Chinese food.
I also love Chinese food.
Yeah. There's this one lady at this one restaurant called North Dumpling, which is like my favorite restaurant. It's just like a hole in the wall where this lady...
Where is it?
It's on Essex Street
okay.
between like the East Broadway F and the Essex Delancey F.
Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go. This lady just like slings out dumplings all day and they're so inexpensive and they're so delicious and she like makes them all by hand and like...
Brilliant.
She feeds just like a very interesting mixed demographic of like working class people and then like Lower East Side art kids. And I love walking in there because like... I feel like she yells at me because I don't speak Chinese, even though I am Chinese. And like, I would give my life for her. And I think that she's the best. And yeah, I love the idea of being turned into a dumpling. I love dumplings. I like fetishize dumplings. I think that they're like perfect foods.
They are very erotic.
Yeah.
The like the tension of the skin.
Yeah.
Like erupting into like hot
totally.
Fat in your mouth.
Yeah. There's like interiority. There's exteriority
totally,
in the dumpling.
Totally.
Yeah. There's like, they can be made into like vegan and like gluten-free options. They're
yes.
like the perfect size. Perfect size. They're like, I don't know. I think that they're like cheap. They're accessible to a lot of different people.
Totally. Very filling.
I think that they taste fucking delicious.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's oil on the inside. You could put more oil on the outside.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
absolutely.
With that.
Absolutely. So
chili
I like
oil.
I like the idea. This just turns into like a recipe podcast.
Yeah, totally.
I love the idea of being turned into a dumpling.
The idea of like being contained
yeah.
by the dough is somewhat comforting.
Being
I guess
steamed.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah, like being in
you
a
you kind of had like a dumpling situation the other day, didn't you?
Being in a sauna?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of, it is.
You've got skin and meat on the inside.
I sure do.
Yeah. So
I do love being steamed.
Yeah. I would love to be turned into a dumpling. Also, like, there's like a folding. There's like such like an intimate, like, careful act of like folding and like pinching the skin of the dumpling. And like, it's very beautiful, and it can become like such a communal practice.
Yeah.
Like, so many different people can participate in like dumpling making parties and like,
yeah.
Yeah. It just sounds like, also, dumplings show up in so many different cultures.
Totally.
Yeah. Which I think is like a testament to something, a testament to like how universal they are or something like that.
I love it.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, I hope your dream comes true.
Honestly, me too. I think that it will.
Okay. One other thing that I want to ask you about is, have you heard of the cannibal cop?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I don't have, like, the Wikipedia in front of me, but...
we'll check it in post.
I'm gonna piece this together from memory. So, a few years ago, a man who was a cop by trade was arrested because he had been posting on message boards about wanting to eat people, and and I think, like, one might say that he was participating in like group, like, fantasy creation of like, in which part of the fantasy was like plotting to like hunt and murder and eat women, I think, mostly. And like, I think maybe he was talking about eating his wife. So, to the best of my knowledge, he never harmed or ate a person. And I don't remember, like, whether he is currently incarcerated or, like, what his deal was. I did not do any research for this. But something that makes it slightly personal to this podcast is that I had heard about him. And it's sort of an interesting ethical question, right? Yeah. Like, if you, like, I'm inclined to defend someone's right to fantasize. Right. I'm inclined to defend someone's right to express fantasies or explore stories that involve violence or the abject. And to like post that on the internet, to explore it in forums where people are opting in to, you know, to that, in the same way that people might discuss serial killers or murder or vampires or fetishes or what have you.
Yeah.
So the cannibal cop wrote a book after being arrested, and he had this PR, and he hired a PR guy, and the PR guy contacted me. Whoa. Again, this was like several years ago, saying, "Hey, do you want to have the cannibal cop on your show?" And I was like, you know, I do, because this will be an opportunity to talk about a lot of the things that you and I have just talked about.
Right.
My Lord. Am I happy to have talked about all of these things with you instead of a male cop?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the time, I didn't know you then, so and I didn't know you wanted to talk about cannibalism. So, but the funny thing about that is that the reason that he never ended up being on the show is that I was busy, and I was like, cool, yes, I will do a phone interview with the cannibal cop, and this will be like, you know, really sort of like in the spirit of the show, like, let's talk about this desire, like, make a case for why there's nothing ethically wrong with exploring this, or maybe like why you should have been a little bit more careful about who you talk to about it. But then this PR guy was like super aggressive with me, and was like, I was like, okay, I'm really busy. I'd like to book him, but like, let me like get back to you like after a few weeks. And he like kept emailing me and, okay, do you still want to have him on the show? And it's like, yes, I do, but I said I would get back to you. Like, and then after like the third or fourth time, I was like, man, you know what you do not want if you are the cannibal cop, is to have
a PR guy.
A PR guy who is like harassing,
like, weirdly insistent.
Yeah, because it's like, and then he was like, sorry, I just, I feel like some people like get cold feet and like freak out. And it's like, then don't
be like
harass me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that is my, that's my story about the cannibal cop. But do you have any comments about like what about people's right to express that fantasy in, say, an online forum?
I think that that's really fascinating. I think that that actually relates to domming.
Yeah.
In a really specific way. Because, like...
Say more.
I don't know the specifics of how this person was posting in this forum. Yeah. But I'm assuming that he was arrested because people were like, I'm not sure if he's actually doing this or not.
Totally.
Right. So, part of my experience as a dom was, like, going online and, like, doing fin-domming for a period of time.
Yeah.
Which I
ended Financial domination.
Right. Which I ended up not enjoying. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed it, but I didn't... Like, there were parts of it that did not feel sustainable to me. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are parts of that specific section of the internet and that culture that don't talk about consent at all.
Totally.
And, like... the nature of that totally like selfless giving and totally like selfish taking.
Yeah.
Is that like, there is no discussion of like, it's just like, okay, you pay me because I'm hot.
I think Lorelai said something like the transaction is the service.
Right. That is like a realm that vaguely relates to this because it feels like there's not like a really distinct demarcation between fantasy and reality.
Totally.
And there's not like an in-between space, or like there's not like some sort of like purgatory in which that is talked about. Right. Yeah. I don't think that we should be policing people's thoughts and like desires, because I think to a certain degree we can't control the possession of those things, but we can control like how they are expressed. Yes. Right. And how they are acted upon. So this is all to say, like, if you're going to be eating somebody, or if you're going to have cannibalistic impulses, don't act on them. But if you are going to be acting on them, make sure that you're doing it consensually.
Yeah.
If you're not doing consensually, I don't know what to say. I can't
help you.
I can't, like, I like tried.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. You can't condone. Yeah. You can't condone that. Do you remember this was maybe even like more like 10 years ago. Do you remember the case of the like German guys who met online?
Yeah,
and
cut off each other. One of them cut his own dick off and like...
Correct.
They ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But they were like punished for it.
Well, one of them, the guy who cut his dick off didn't survive. And then I think the other guy was prosecuted for his murder. Which even really... though he had consented.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he'd consented to being murdered, but he definitely consented to having his dick cut off, which, like, you got to make a risk aware assessment there, my man.
Yeah, that sounds like definitely... It's like edge play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but... Yeah, I don't know
what to... sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah, I think about them a lot. You really tried to make it happen.
And, yeah.
Like, it really... I'm like, wow, there really is, like...
Someone for everyone.
Exactly.
Someone for everyone. It is sort of a tragedy of compatibility.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Like they sounds like they were totally compatible. And then this gets into this sort of the dubious question of like, if someone is consenting to something like being mutilated, mm-hmm. are they in
the right
frame of mind to be giving consent? It's a tricky question, like related to mental health, right?
Absolutely.
Because who gets to decide what is the right frame of mind from which to consent, and like what disqualifies you from being able to consent? Like if you're consenting to having your dick literally eaten,
right?
Who gets to decide that that means that you are not fit to consent to have your dick eaten?
Because I think that we can get into that becomes a slippery slope very quickly.
Yeah, of course, of control, of people saying, like,
you... I like being hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the pathologizing of...
other desires.
Yeah, desires that other... that people who don't share those desires...
Right.
Or are repressing their own desires for those things, like, see as...
You know,
violent.
Maybe we all want to have our dicks eaten.
I'm open to it.
Yeah. I'm not against it.
Oh my God, that makes me think about, like... like some sort of biotech future where like...
Oh, I can't wait.
This is something that could happen on your body farm. Okay. Like, what if I could like grow a dick?
Yes.
And like use it for a while.
Yeah.
To fuck people, and it has nerve endings in it, and I can feel it. Maybe I can like even like ejaculate out of it.
Fuck yeah.
So I like get to like have a flesh cock that I get sucked and stick in everything.
Pee
for
would
a little while.
I would,
of course.
Okay.
Yeah, in someone's butthole for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Write my name in the snow, etc. Yeah. I would want to do everything you can do with the dick. I would try it all.
Yeah.
But then, like, maybe it like only lasts for a week.
Yeah.
and then it like
falls off.
Falls off. If it was edible, that placenta just seems
style.
Like placenta style. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I so want to eat the placenta of someone that I love.
Yeah.
And some people are like freaked out by that. And I'm like,
come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Placenta eating has been around for longer than naysayers have. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Come on.
I hear it's highly nutritious.
I have also heard that. I'm also like, I don't know. We eat so much weird shit anyway. Who are we to decide like, oh, that's gross. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems much more natural than like weird tofu, fake seitan human flesh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I am like so, I'm so the person to like be in the delivery room with like a little grill, like yeah. ready.
George Foreman grill.
Like your placenta. Salt, pepper, ready to go.
Kebab that shit.
Seriously. Lay it to rest on a bed of fresh greens.
Oh, that sounds really nice, actually.
Yeah.
You were talking about this like bio future.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So
in
like.
Which you have a cock.
It would be, wouldn't it be a nice like end to that cock's life, like
yeah.
it gets used by me, which you know is going to be used very well for right. a little while, and then we can all eat it.
It's like when there's this video that was going around Twitter like a week ago or something like that. The caption was like, "Oh, when you take off your socks after a long day," and it's a video of like a gecko pulling off like the skin from its little hand and just like eating it, just like eating the skin that it has shed.
Amazing. I mean, that also...
Also, weren't they eating foreskins for a while or something like that?
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Again, this is like falls into the category that we were talking about of things that we excrete and shed.
Yeah.
Like, what?
We're
like,
already doing it.
Like, it's just going to waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Like pickled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pickled placenta.
Pickled placenta.
Pickled foreskin.
I'm positive that that has happened before.
I'm positive that it has, yeah.
Yeah, I would also be curious to see what that was like.
Yeah. Cool.
I can't wait for the bio future.
let's get on that as quickly yeah. as possible. Can you think of like a body part that, if there was a clone of you,
yeah.
this is one of my favorite topics.
Yes.
Let's just
bellies say- Bellies or thighs?
I didn't even get, I was going to say, let's say for the sake of argument that we've established that it has no sentience, but you're like, I don't, let's just... Bellies or thighs. So you want to yeah. like a thigh, like a fucking Ren Faire, like turkey.
Inner thigh for sure.
And then belly, like pork belly.
Sure.
In a bun.
Yeah.
That's how absolutely. You're going to get maybe. Fucking turned into a dumpling.
Yeah, that's it. I was also thinking about like going the other direction. If I had to cut off like an ounce of flesh to give to somebody
yeah.
that I really loved, I was trying to think about like what would be best. And I honestly think that I would have very delicious calves. The meat feels strong and it is in an area that I'm not I'm not sad about giving up.
Your calves.
Yeah. Just like a little ounce from my calves.
Yeah. I don't know how much, like where would I miss an ounce?
Yeah.
Like I don't have any sense of like what an ounce of flesh from my body would like amount to.
Right.
How did this all begin?
The fascination with cannibalism began specifically with those two people, but I do think that there was like a certain amount of...
Those two clients that you had mentioned before.
Right, those two clients, the video client.
And
the,
mental dental.
And mental dental. Mental dental was the mouth, and then the video client was like swallowing.
I am going to continue to eat this.
Go for it.
Salami.
It feels fitting. Mm-hmm. I think that I definitely got into kink in general by reading... Yu-Gi-Oh! Fanfiction.
Tell me more.
Well, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was this anime that started, I think, in the late 90s and ran through the early 2000s.
That sounds right.
Right. And is like, I think it's, there are like several different spinoff series, but I watched it and in my child brain, I was like, that sounds like something that I could get down with. And then as I got a little older, started reading like gay/fan fiction.
Wait, what was the thing that you felt like you could specifically get down with?
It was like all sorts. It was like murder. Like it was like murder fan fiction.
Oh, gotcha. The fan fiction, not, I don't even remember the premise of Yu-Gi-Oh! The anime.
They had nothing to do with, like the anime itself was like, I just really liked the way that the characters were drawn. I thought that was super hot.
And then you got into fanfic and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I realized was that like... So on the American dub, on the English dub mm-hmm. of the TV show, there is a voice actor who voices the main characters, who voices a lot of the main characters, actually. And then when I started watching porn, I like was watching like a lot of like hentai porn.
Sure.
And I realized that on like the English dub of certain hentai videos,
same actor. Incredible.
Yeah. I'm like, good for you, man. I was just very attracted to that voice. And so that kind of like sexualized that show.
If you're listening to this and you know who you are.
Dan Green.
Oh. Dan Green.
Yeah.
Dan Green. Out there. Where are you at?
Just holler.
Wu wants you to, yeah. to talk.
To narrate certain things. But yeah. Yeah. And then when I was a little older than that, like I started reading a lot of gay murder fan fiction between two specific characters, and I was like, wow, this feels like the ultimate release, and like this is the best writing I've ever read. Like,
yes. And then they ate each other.
Yeah, sometimes they did eat each other. A lot of the stuff that I really liked was like, I'm killing you as I'm coming, or as you're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, or I'm like stabbing you as you're coming.
Yeah.
One that was really hot was like slicing you open and like fucking your insides,
uh-huh.
which is a classic. Another classic. One was like, it's slicing off your head and then fucking the hole.
Oh yeah.
That's super hot. And that's yeah. like another orifice that I think is really cool. The esophagus.
Oh yeah. Fucking the esophagus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like,
that's a food. Yeah. Food fetish.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
If you fuck the esophagus and it comes out the mouth, is that, that's not vomiting. No.
Well, so you're talking about like fucking the esophagus, like you have a decapitated head.
Yeah.
And you're like fucking it from behind.
Yeah.
Is that vomiting?
I don't think so.
No, because there's no bile.
There's no like pull from the stomach.
Yeah. No, you're just coming out someone's mouth from the inside. There are some people who have made it this far that we're finally losing now. I was going to say that the other end of the esophagus is the rectum, right? So
that's true.
It's kind of like the esophagus is kind of the rectum of the head.
Ah, yes.
And you know how I feel about the rectum.
The thinking man's rectum. That's amazing.
Cool.
And I appreciate the space to allow me to like think out the logistics of some of these things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's been very productive.
I'm a pragmatist.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, process.
You're a Virgo, right?
I am a Virgo.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. What is your sun sign?
I'm a Gemini.
Oh, right. You know, I love a Gemini.
Yeah. I love a good Virgo.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. My Mars is in Virgo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
I have no idea what that means. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out Virgo style.
Methodical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Organized.
Yes. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, woo.
Tina.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
We've been snacking a little bit, but.
But it's dinner time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.